Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking to a Syracuse basketball legend and about the team's big win over Florida State. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Brad Bierman, and our guest today is Syracuse basketball legend Dale Shackelford. Shack, always appreciate your time. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You know, living the dream in sunny Florida.
And speaking of Florida, Shaq, we'll get you started on this one. You're host of a weekly podcast called the Salt and Pepper Sports Show that airs live on Sundays at 11 a.m. with your high school teammate, Ed Jacob, recorded in Delray Beach, Florida. Tell us more about the show and how it came to be.
Well, you know, I've always done a show up in Syracuse with Roosevelt Bowie. And, that was all geared to Syracuse basketball. And once I came down here, I'm not able to see the show, so I don't want to watch TV and then try to analyze the Syracuse basketball. I like to sit there, watch it live, and then I can give my honest views on it instead of listening to someone else commentate it on TV. And my high school teammate, Ed Jacob, a.k.a. Salt, used to watch our show all the time, and he asked, why don't we just do a show down here in South Florida? And so far, Ed's been very good at, getting some unique guests on our show.
Another thing you're doing down in Florida is coaching Cardinal Gibbons and Fort Lauderdale. You're in your second season. How's season two going?
Yeah, it's going great. I'm an assistant coach there at Cardinal Gibbons. Last season was my first season. And, amid COVID and everything, a lot of schools and a lot of teams throughout the country didn't play. We were very fortunate last year. We were able to play 21 games. We finished 16-5. The kids brought into, the defensive scheme of things as far as the basketball is concerned. And, we fared pretty well. This year, talent-wise, we've got a better team, but we're very, very young. And, sometimes it's tough to get young kids that were prolific scorers or, scored very easily at the level before they got to us to, buy into the defensive part of the game. So it's a work in progress. We're very fortunate to have a young man, son who played at Syracuse, George Papadakis. His son Johnny is playing for us down here in Fort Lauderdale at Cardinal Gibbons. That's a great addition. He's about 6'7". He's a very good shooter. And, that's one of the Syracuse connections. George called Bernie Fine, who's down here in Florida, and was looking for a place for his son to go to. And he said, Shaq's coaching over at Cardinal Gibbons in Fort Lauderdale. Why don't you send him there? That way you'll have some familiarity with, the coaches and everything. So we're very fortunate in that sense to get him. And, things are looking good. We got a tough game coming up tomorrow against St. Thomas Aquinas. And, this would be a great test for us.
Shaq, let's talk a little bit about your time at Syracuse. I think one of the reasons why you're so beloved in Syracuse basketball history is because of your versatility. You were the first freshman to start under Roy Danforth. You played all five positions, and as basketball has evolved, it's becoming more and more of a positionless game. Do you like how the current game is played?
Well, I mean, you know, as you said, times have changed. There's players are more athletic. They have better access to trainers and that help you with recovery and stuff. I think, in saying that, the game's a lot faster. But I also say I think a lot of the programs from every level going up, they don't, concentrate on fundamentals. And that's where a lot of kids are hurting, and that's where a lot of teams are hurting. Kids aren't playing fundamental basketball. Everybody wants to dribble. Everybody wants to shoot threes. There's nothing where you're going to play power game or you're going to set good screens, to get guys open for shots. So it's a different mentality. Players today just want to score. They don't, really care or concentrate on other parts of the game. And, that is a tribute to, how the game has evolved over the years.
Shaq, I mentioned before that you played for Coach Danforth. You were also there in the beginning of the Jim Boeheim era. How has he changed and evolved over time?
Well, when Coach Boeheim was an assistant my freshman year, he was very good, I'm going to say. And, when he transitioned from the assistant coach to head coach, people have to understand, Coach Boeheim wasn't much older than the players that he's had. I mean, he's only 11 years older than I am, but there were some guys that, he's 9 or 10 years older than that he's coaching at Syracuse. And I think it was more of a situation where we had a group of upstate New York guys that, we played hard together. Nobody cared who scored. We just wanted to, go out and win ball games. And I think, with the way basketball has gone over the years, coaches have to change. Sometimes coaches are a little bit harder because they expect a lot more out of the kids. And as I said about the fundamentals, the kids don't have those fundamentals that we had, back in the 70s and 80s, when we played basketball. So, Coach Boeheim has got a little more vocal with his players. He gets a little angry with guys. That's something one-sided him that we hadn't seen, and I hadn't seen in the 3 years I played for him. And, we're talking to Roosevelt. Roosevelt hadn't seen it either. So, it's where these coaches have to adjust to, the players they have. I can remember a quote from Coach Boeheim at one time. I was at a banquet with him, and he referenced to a story where a young man's mother said to him, "Why are you always yelling at my son?" And he said, "Well, the reason I yell at your son is because you never did." that's where we're coming from. People are so into their kids being great instead of supporting them and appreciating whatever they can do that it takes away from a lot of the fun and excitement for the young players.
Talking about changing college basketball, there are two very specific things that have happened recently in the college basketball game. One is that players are able to profit off name, image, and likeness. The second is the transfer portal and being able to play immediately at the next school. What are your thoughts on each?
Well, as far as the transfer portal is concerned, I understand a lot of kids go to places and they don't get the playing time that they thought they deserved or should have. I think that they should not be able to transfer. You made that decision. You made a commitment to your college or university of choice. I think you should be obligated to stay there for 4 years. But in saying that, coaches can get up and go whenever they feel like it. We were fortunate at Syracuse to have Coach Boeheim there for 40-plus years, and he's not looking to go anywhere else. But, it's tough on kids when you form a friendship and a bond with a coach, and then he ups and leaves. Where does that leave you, or how do you know if the other coach coming in is going to appreciate your talents and what you can bring to the program? So in saying that, I do think that, once a kid commits to a school, that's where he should stay for 4 years or for however long he takes for him to graduate. If you're not happy somewhere, then you've got to figure out a way to get yourself on the court and get yourself some playing time. We had challenges every year, highly recruited freshmen coming in and, trying to take my spot. And, I have to compete and battle and practice every day to maintain that. And, kids today tend to concede more to talent coming in and not challenging that talent and making yourself and that person better. As far as the likeness, it's the change was coming. It was about time that, they start giving, student athletes on every level, if it's men's or women's sports, the ability to make money. Back when we played, you weren't allowed to work a job or anything during the season. So, I mean, I came from a family that, a single mom, five siblings. I didn't have, the luxuries of, having a car or being able to go out and buy a pizza anytime I felt like it. So, those situations there, I think, the kids should get something. How much or what, it just depends. But I think it should be equal across the board. Because you're more talented doesn't mean that in the college situation that you deserve more. The other players are there working just as hard as you are, if not harder, to help the team be successful. So in that sense, I think, it should be some sort of equal billing across the board and, not just catered to, quote unquote, the more talented or the guys that are, producing more points on the floor or get more minutes on the floor.
And Shaq, we'll get you out of here on this one. What do you think of this year's Syracuse basketball team?
Well, I think Syracuse has a very good team. If they're on, they're going to shoot the lights out. They can, shoot with the best of them. My whole thing with Syracuse this year is that defensively, we're not very athletic. So, we have to compensate in other ways. And that just means that guys have got to hustle. We got to make sure that we're positioning ourselves right. We've got a couple new guys in that's never played the zone before. I'm a firm believer if you play basketball, then, you got to understand every part of the game. And, that just comes from, hard work and the willingness to do those things. I also feel that, coaches never really played a lot of guys. And, we've been spoiled over the years because we've had long, rangy athletic players, playing the 2-3 zone, and we don't have that now. So something's got to change to where we're going to either pack it in or we're going to push out on the shooters. And, we may have to go with, two centers just to make sure that we take care of everything on the inside so we can cover the perimeter.
Shaq, thanks so much for coming on the program again. Syracuse legend Dale Shackelford. Shaq, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the college basketball season. We'll speak with you soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Amazing to speak with Shaq. And special thanks to Ira Berkowitz and Robert Yanofsky. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online editor-in-chief and my very good friend, Brad Bierman. Brad, how are you today?
I am doing well, Wes. Thank you.
Brad, Syracuse made it 2 in a row over the weekend, this time with an impressive 63-60 road win over Florida State. Surprisingly, it was Syracuse basketball's second-half defense that allowed them to win. What were your thoughts on the game?
Could there have been a tougher way to open up ACC play? Wes, I mean, all Florida State had done was won 25 consecutive home games in ACC play. I mean, wow, that was a really impressive come-from-behind win against a team that in the last three seasons simply was not losing at home. And to do it in comeback fashion in the second half was really, I thought, a very impressive effort by this team. And I thought back to the quote that Buddy Boeheim made at the ACC tip-off event, Wes. Remember, he said, most energy he's seen from a team that he's been a part of since he's been at Syracuse. And I think that energy showed in the second half. Certainly impressive performance from the bench players in this victory, Wes, when you think about Samir Torrence, Benny Williams, and Frank Anselm, because not from a numbers-wise statistically, but from the energy that they bring on the court when they're in there playing zone defense. Torrence did stand out with his 5 assists. Frank Anselm is battling under the boards for rebounds. He finished with 4. Benny's got to get his game going. I think Jim Boeheim, the coaching staff, will do that. But the combination of those three players coming off, we know what we can expect from the 5 starters so far. It's been really a great mix of energy off the bench to go along with the starting 5 that we've come to expect to be very consistent. And I think what Florida State did against Buddy Boeheim is what other teams are going to do the rest of the season. They're going to certainly make it hard for him to score, so it's going to be imperative that the other four starters pick up the scoring slack, and they did that against the Seminoles, led by Joe Girard, who just has, you know, no fear from shooting, no fear from getting an open shot and taking it. No fear if he misses, he's going to come back and still keep shooting the basketball. Same now with Cole Swider. He's starting to get into a tempo, into a groove, starting to get his feet under him in the Syracuse offense. And Jesse Edwards has just been, you know, lights out. I mean, I think we're going to get spoiled that he's going to get a double-double in every game. And Jimmy Boeheim is just a grinder, a smart basketball player. He's going to figure out a way to score. So it's going to be imperative for those four players to pick up the slack as opposing defenses go after Buddy Boeheim all season.
Brad, talking about tough games to win, Syracuse will play number 6 Villanova at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday evening. You're going to be covering the game, so how do you see this game playing out?
Well, it's going to be the biggest challenge so far this season, even with the games in the battle for Atlantis against teams like VCU and Auburn, which Syracuse dropped in the Bahamas. Villanova is the real deal, and I thought it was interesting after they blew out Philly crosstown rival St. Joseph's on Saturday that Hawks coach Billy Lang, who served on Jay Wright's staff for 5 seasons, called it the best Villanova team he's seen in 20 years. He didn't say it was the most talented team like the 2 national championship squads that Jay Wright has had, but he thought from a teamwork standpoint, it was the best he has seen in a Villanova team. So that's certainly saying quite a bit. They held St. Joseph's leading scorer, who was averaging over 17 points a game, to 0 points. And Villanova's got a, you know, pretty big, you know, front line, 6'7", 6'7", 6'8". They got big guards, 6'4", and 6'3". They have a quality transfer guard in Daniels, who's 6'4". They played tremendous defense in holding St. Joseph's to 52 points. So I think the same thing's going to happen against Syracuse. They're going to be making Buddy Boeheim a marked man, and it's going to be incumbent upon the other four starters to pick up the offensive slack. And then it's going to come down to the Syracuse defense. Villanova can shoot 3-point baskets, and they've really got to play very aggressive defense around the perimeter to keep that 3-point shooting in check. And the other point of the Florida State game, that in the end, SU out-rebounded Florida State 41-40. That's going to be a very important factor against that Villanova tall and aggressive and athletic front line as well. The battle on the boards at both ends, offensively and defensively, and trying to eliminate Villanova's points in the paint and try to get their own scoring underneath, which Jesse Edwards has been able to do so far.
And Brad, we are right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
Well, Wes, unfortunately, for the 5th time in the last 6 seasons, the SU football team, of course, not going to a bowl game. And it just makes me mad this time of year when all the bowl games are announced. You heard me say it last season and the season before. When I see these other teams that are going to bowl games, with all due respect to the Middle Tennessee States, the Liberty, a victim of Syracuse in the Carrier Dome this year, Appalachian State, Western Kentucky, Texas El Paso, UAB, Kent State with old friend Sean Lewis as head coach. Again, with all due respect to those programs, the fact that they're playing bowl games and Syracuse is not just drives me absolutely crazy that a program with all the resources Syracuse has, the Carrier Dome, the great facilities, the new facilities on the way, the coaching resources they put into the program, the quality players that they have, certainly in the top 22 starters and in special teams, that Syracuse can't at least get 6 wins and join teams that they beat in the ACC this year, like Boston College and Virginia Tech, in a bowl game, drives me absolutely nuts this time of year.
Brad, my closing thoughts are on Manny Breland, who lost his battle with pancreatic cancer over the weekend. Breland was the first black man to be offered a scholarship to play basketball at Syracuse University, and the Syracuse native went on to play from 1952 to 1957 and was part of the 1957 team that earned the first NCAA tournament bid in school history. Breland went on to serve for 31 years as a teacher and principal in the Syracuse area and was also inducted into the Syracuse Sports Hall of Fame in 1992. A melancholy happy trails to Breland, who's certainly among the greats in the Syracuse basketball world. That's it for us for Brad Bierman. This is Wes Chang reminding you that my friend has hand soap that smells like coconut. That's nice unless your hands are dirty from coconuts. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cubes podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cubes podcast, part of the SNY.TV audio network.
Ah, the sizzle of McDonald's sausage. It's enough to make you crave your favorite breakfasts. Enough to head over to McDonald's. Enough to make you really wish this commercial were scratch and sniff.
And if you're a sausage person, now get two satisfyingly savory sausage McGriddles, sausage biscuits, or sausage burritos for just $3.33. Or mix and match. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.